Let's go. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for our study today. We ask that you'd make it a time where we know your presence, where we know and understand and grapple with the truths that you want to share with us, the relevance to each one of our lives and to we as the family of God and as your children. We pray and depend upon you, dear Holy Spirit, to unfold to us our Lord and Savior, the wonderful salvation he's wrought and has picked us up and brought us into participation with you in, and trust you to bless this time. We trust you to give each one of us peaceful hearts that we might be comfortable in sharing and talking with each other. Give us a thirst to know and grapple with your truths and the joy of the fellowship of being your children. I trust you to bless this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let me share the screen. Stop me if at any time if there's significant questions and things like that. Can you see the Sabbath rest chart there?
Yes.
Okay. All right. This is the same format for a graphic that I use for Sandstone. It just saved me some time to be using the same one, but I'll change the agenda each time we come together, and you'll recognize the difference between them at the very least by the Minneapolis up here. And our date and their date then is a few days different. And their name up there will be a CWC Sandstone for Community Worship Center that they have up there. So that's, we'll start off with that. I'll work off the agenda that you see here. These normally there'll be multiple pages, and that's what you're going to see here. And I'll put together in one PDF. A group of graphics that we will work off of, and then there'll be collateral material. So on the website, you will see this up on the website labeled with today's date, and it'll say study objectives. And then there'll be a couple relevant PDFs that are up there. I got out earlier in the week PDFs pertaining to our assignment today, which we're going to, with a high degree of excitement, get at momentarily. And that's the Ephesians 4, 20 through 24, are grappling with having learned Christ. What is our understanding? What's the context of the epistle for us having to do with put off and put on as it relates to having learned Christ? So there's a couple graphics up there that I think you had access to much earlier in the week, hopefully by Wednesday. Was anybody not aware of those? I sent out an email about them.
No,
everybody had them. Okay, we'll be looking at those shortly. So our focus then today is the passage in Ephesians. One might wonder, because we've been in 1 John so long and it's been years since we studied Ephesians, but the rationale for this is it gives us a platform to learn our study method. It gives us a platform to see outside of 1 John another apostle whose main focus is the same as John's, but using a different way to unfold it to the believers, to express himself, different terminology. He's not. You might call John a little more devotional and or not emotional, but devotional and intimate, where Paul sometimes seems rather distant, more rational, reasonable, and a logical presentation of the truths of Christ that he presents. And so it gives us a little contrast. This particular paragraph in Ephesians 4, 20 through 24, we're using... with Kipling's the approach by Kipling with asking these questions is to try to get into and get an understanding of the significance of learning Christ in the context of a resident life the same emphasis that John has. And we're looking at it through terms that normally wouldn't lead you to that conclusion right out of the gate. And so it's a two aspects using Ephesians that we want to draw out. It might take us a couple weeks today. I know it's probably going to be a little challenging, and which is just fine, because in stirring the pot, so to speak, to get our minds in gear, to kick us in the rear end, to slow us down, to grapple with, rather than cliche phrases about our being a Christian and so on, to grapple with the real reality of what it means to have a living God indwelling us and the significance of that. So that's what we're aiming at. And this stuff, I'm not going to explain this chart. It's pretty self-explanatory if you'll take your time to look. This is how we introduced sandstone to the Sabbath rest. They had finished the study of the two covenants by Andrew Murray, with the emphasis on the new covenant. And then we came to the Sabbath rest, and this is just the graphic that I was using. The next page. Any questions on this one? Is this big enough for iPad people to see?
Yeah, I took a picture, but I bet you, Kurt, you're going to have it up on line, right? And then
It's up there already.
Okay, Kurt, you can print that, right?
Yeah. Yep, I can see it.
Okay.
No, I asked if you print it for me.
I can print it. Yes.
Does anybody else need printings? If people want printings, I can print stuff and send it over to you and stuff, but. You just have to let me know. I'm forcing myself, of course, I'm maybe a little more used to than most folks, in using the computer and using the computer to study on, whether it's a laptop, tablet, and or a desktop. And I'm doing the same thing with sandstone, and assuming and or trusting or happy to respond to somebody who isn't going to do that, and that's fine. A lot of the group, including all of us in the same group with the other brothers and sisters, like to have something in their hand, paper and a pencil, write notes and so on, which is just fine.
Yep.
Okie doke. Next page. All right. This one, the thing that we're going to be spending most time on today is in using Kipling. I created a couple pages here as a demo approach to using Kipling, besides the Hebrews and the Ephesians graphics that I sent you. We're going to start with this just as demo as some background. But on this page, the five epistles that you see running up the incline are the significant epistles that I want all of us to be reading. Now, I know I've asked us to read, and we'll take a little call of attendance to see how we did on that in a minute. But First John, as many times as you can, incorporate Ephesians, incorporate Colossians, Galatians, and incorporate Hebrews. Mm-hmm. On the website, you have those there in the RSV to listen to, also to read. You have it up there, and you can get it on your phone or on your computer and so on, if you don't have access. They're also downloadable if you want to use them as MP3s on an MP3 player. But anyway, these are the epistles we want to read. Now, how do we do on reading? I'm glad you didn't call me on the severity of my attitude in sending out that email. And I was trying to be as nice as I could. But in asking us to read 1 John twice, Ephesians mm-hmm. once, and Hebrews once. And let's see, we got such a nice, what hand should we raise? We're all going to sink them. Did everybody get a chance to read 1 John?
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Everybody good? Okay. We're doing good. Twice?
Yep.
Yep.
Wow. I didn't expect that. And then Ephesians.
Yep.
Yep.
Really? And Hebrews?
Yes.
Yes.
Amen. Okay. All right. Now, the more we read these, more we read these, the more comfortable we'll become with the content, the more aware we'll become of what particular author emphasizes, how he takes the life that the author has, same life that we have, and talks about it, puts his arms around the readers, and encourages them with all the ability that the Holy Spirit gives him and inspires him with to focus on how to come to the place of the Sabbath rest. They're all about the same thing, the life of Christ in the believer, every single one of them. Actually, mm-hmm. the whole New Testament is, all the scriptures, Old Testament, New Testament. John deals with it in a particular and a unique way. Most of us have studied together Ephesians and Hebrews. Some of us have studied even Colossians and Galatians to a certain degree. It wasn't too many years ago we were doing a study, all of us, except for Marcia, at Jesse's place, and we incorporated Colossians, Galatians, and I think Joffe brought in Romans, if I remember. And that study went pretty well, didn't last too long, but went pretty well. But anyway, so this is the emphasis here. As you read them, as you read them again and again, it will restructure our minds and our thinking. It's there's no way you can stop it, because we're taking God's thoughts, his mind, as he knows how to communicate to each one of us, his thoughts and his mind in a way we can understand about himself and what he is inside of us and what he's done to us, what his purpose is. All that stuff will just be unfolded in the context of the epistles. You do have to keep them separate. What's in John is different than Ephesians, and they don't read the same. They read different. But anyway, we'll talk more and more about that. Any questions about that? So as long as you've read them, I encourage you to keep reading them. And I will, that'll make our studies, I think, much more understandable and reduce the difficulty of understanding when we talk to each other and I use questions and things like that, because the verses and the passages that I'll jump to will be in those epistles, and we'll just get all used to that. All right, charter demo approach. All right, this is just a simple layout incorporating some of the stuff that we've touched on to be a little pre-study before we get to the charts that I gave you during the week. Remember Kipling and his questions? All we're doing with those, the simple basic questions, is to try to stimulate our mind by means of an inquiry to probe into something. The most important thing is to ask the question. Answering the question is less important in reference to what we're doing, what it does to our minds. Asking the question will lead to another question, will lead to another question, will lead to an answer, will lead to a hypothesis or a theory, or I think it means, I think this relates to this and so on, which is all just fine. But it's to get us engaged in the content is the focus, and that's what these questions do. An example now of using Christ as the human user manual is on the upper right. Is that big enough for you guys to see, or want me to blow it up?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay, so now we have the quadrilateral over here and laid out horizontal, and we have scripture, reason, tradition, experience. We're not concerned about is one more important than the other. What we're concerned about is we get our information from the one who is sitting at the right hand of the Father by means of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And if you remember in chapter 2 of 1 John, he mentions a teacher who's resonant with us, inside of us, and the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to share the life of God with us. And if you want a picture in the garden, what was God doing with Adam? He's walking around the garden. He took his hand, said, come on, here, let's check out what I've made, what I've done, what you're going to be in charge of, however we'd imagine the dialogue was going. The Holy Spirit is doing that inside of us, and he's walking around inside of us with us, sharing with us what the life of Christ is like. The Holy Spirit isn't concerned with what our life is like in the context of learning what humanity is, other than learning what humanity is in the context of fellowship with this person. So hence the title, Human User Manual. All right, so with that, we're going to ask these questions, how did I so learn Christ? What's learning Christ mean? And all that type of stuff. Our information comes from, right below that, this is an example of how you'd write it down. I put these things here. Nothing's poured in concrete. You can't go wrong. You can put down whatever you want. But where do you, Joffy, where do you, Marcia, where do you, Sonia Curtis, where do you get your information from? Primarily, in Ephesians, we're going to go with Paul as the author. We're going to go with Christ in this chart up here, the God-man. And then we're going to go with the quadrilateral listed. And this is where I'm going to pull my information from. And what we want to do is, as we would ask these questions and as we might surmise an answer, be aware of, where am I getting my information from? Am I getting my information from my experience of the life of Christ in me, my experience as I was a fallen human being and now I'm redeemed? Am I getting it from tradition? Am I getting it from the church? Am I getting it from doctrine that I've memorized and made part of me because I have a belief system that I depend upon? And if I don't have it, I'm shaking and I need to have this system and I got it down and I'm right and I'm orthodox and all that type of stuff. Am I getting it from my reasonable understanding as I look at tradition, experience, or scripture? All of that falls shy of getting it from Christ Jesus. But if I'm taking that and dependent upon Christ, the Holy Spirit to show me revelation in the person of Christ to me of the reality of these things and what they are in the context of being a participant in this fellowship, that's where I'm getting my information from. Now, complementing that, it's just a small aspect of it, would be Paul's primary sources. And that's the books, of course, we're pulling out for our primary sources, Ephesians, Colossians, and Galatians. Colossians and Galatians are sister epistles to Ephesians, and I put them in that category because of the content. It talks about exactly the same thing. And the more you read Colossians, the more you read Galatians, you'll see the similarities, and you'll wonder, well, okay, he phrases this a little bit different. What's being said here? Is it the same thing, or what's being said? Is it because the people are different? Is it because there's a new aspect of truth that Paul's no longer 52 years old, but when he wrote the other epistle, he's 55, and the Holy Spirit in the meantime has showed him something about the person of Christ and about his life with him? Secondary sources for Paul would be the balance of Paul's epistles. And then you'd throw in something like Romans that Joffe was teaching from when I referenced that earlier. And Paul's epistles. Then we got third sources. We got the New Testament books, and then we got the entire Old Testament. And then we opt to the fourth sources. So we're elevating actually the scriptures above things like tradition, reason, and experience because of the intimacy we have with the Holy Spirit teaching us by the Word of God. So that's just a suggested place to go for your sources for answering to the questions. Any questions with that? All right, now we're going to expand a little bit, but we're going to hopefully make it a little less difficult and bring it into Kipling's questions. So is any of this got to be, I'm going to start up over here. Is this big enough?
Mm-hmm.
Now, with these headphones on, am I talking too loud?
Nope.
Okay. So one of the first things we'll want, looking at that paragraph, Ephesians 4:20-24, a simple, quick listing of the keywords and concepts. Now, Marcia, you might not be used to this, but Sonia Curtis and Joffe are. One of the ways that we've studied the scriptures over the years together in a doctorate level was to, for instance, 1 John we studied together, and we went through the epistle paragraph by paragraph, five chapters, and we wrote down the key words and concepts. And then we'd go in and we'd do an observational study, and we'd go at basic questions like, what does this word mean? And we'd go to the dictionary, we'd go to the Greek dictionary, we'd go to the English dictionary, we'd go to comparative translation. The normal way people would do Bible study, in-depth Bible study. Mm-hmm. And rather than just discussion, one of the things you'd list down is keywords. So these are just simply the keywords in that paragraph. And then we'd ask questions. You can see I have all six of Kipling's questions here. I have up here, I have what. Then I do the who, why, where, when, and how. This is just an example of simple, right out of the gate, a what question you'd ask about each one of these. Down here is a listing of now I'd ask who questions. So what question about Learn Christ? Down here I'd ask a who question about Learn Christ and so on. So here's how a question might go. What is there about Christ to learn? Right? And we'd ask that question, and then we'd go to our sources and we'd list down other questions. What does the church have to say about me learning Christ? We jump to a how. How does the church teach me about Christ? Is that my primary source about learning Christ? Is that what Paul means in the paragraph? So that's an example. The next one over to the right is a little different, and all you're doing is brainstorming with your mind. What is there about Christ to learn? Now you phrase it a little different. What is there about Christ to learn? Actually, the same question.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't. Right.
You just had the
scratch
first
that, erase it, edit it out.
No.
What is there about Christ to learn? What is there about Christ to learn? Then coming down this way is, what have I learned about Christ? And take note of, and that's a big one. If any one of us would just sit down, and you'd notice in our dialogues and our conversations. You saw it Saturday, Marcia, sitting in on the meeting, and in ours, is that we'll bring right away to the table information and knowledge that we have in a response to a question, and it may or may not be relevant. It may totally miss the point, and the reason that we find ourselves doing that is where our mind is operating too fast, and what we need to do is slow ourselves down and then hone in and focus on the information that's significant and relevant and important, rather than just a little bucket load of information. It isn't a difficult question to ask, what have we learned about Christ, any one of us? But that isn't what Paul's talking about. He's talking about a specific learning about Christ in a very significant, life-changing context, because a sentence or two down in the paragraph, he's actually talking about somehow learning Christ. There's something in there that is so relevant that it changes my entire nature. And that's the aspect of learning Christ he's talking about. He's not talking about doctrinal truths. He's not talking about the theology of baptism. He's not talking about, you know, he's talking about things focused on the subject of that paragraph. So, any questions with that? Okay, so then what are my sources of information? How would I categorize this information? So things that you would respond to that question with, if they're doctrine, make a note that this is a doctrine I've learned about Christ. You might ask the question, is it significant, important? Is it verifiable? What's it got to do with Paul here? It's a belief I have. It's a theory. It's an opinion. It's relative to my experience. It's a testimony or witness from other Christian. Or historically, I read it about some witness and testimony, somebody having to do with the person of Christ in learning Christ. Okay, any questions with that? Now, just as a suggestion, in reference to learning Christ, what's the primary, most important, significant context to get information from in answer to that question that you all said you read this last week?
Scripture.
What part of scripture? If we're concerned with St. Paul, we want to know how the Holy Spirit worked through this unique person, through his mind, and the Holy Spirit wanted this person to expound, motivate, explain, teach, uplift, bring brothers and sisters to maturity using this particular man. What do we have from him that we have access to? All his epistles, right? And which one's most important in answering this question? Of all of them, starts with E.
Ephesians.
Ah, yes. Why? Because our passage is in Ephesians.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we can think, well, I read this paragraph and right away I'm going to jump to Colossians, or I'm going to jump to Galatians, or I'm going to jump to James, or I'm going to jump to a gospel. No, our primary information is going to come from finding it in the context of what he's given us before in that epistle and what he follows it up with. It's smack dab in the middle of the epistle. So chapters 1 and 2 and 3 have information that would help us get the answer that Paul wants us to have. We'll know what his assumptions are when he asks that. He'll know how we'll know where he's coming from as he's working with us as believers, and where he will take it to after he has said it in paragraph 4. So Ephesians is most important. Then would come Colossians and Galatians, because they talk about the same thing with the same human mind that was inspired by the Holy Spirit. All right, I don't want to spend all day on this. Any questions with that?
No.
Okay,
the
so
question
if,
I have,
sure, go ahead.
No, it's not about the passage. It's about to print it. Would I print it right off of this screen?
Yes, it's a PDF. So it's by PDF, it's simple file format, and it is if you pull up your printer, you'll have an image of the page, and on 8.5 by 11, I presume, you'll see how it fits.
Okay.
Does that give you enough information?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Some of my charts are 11 by 17s, and if you pull up print, if your printer is set for 8.5 by 11, it'll take that 11 by 17 and put it on it, and you'll see how it works. And then there'll be a dialog box selection where you can say fit to page. So it can take 11 by 17 and squeeze it on down there. It'll be a little print, but
right.
It works fine.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, most of these are size to 8.5 by 11.
Okay.
All right. Right below that, then, just as another example, what is there that I heard about him? Not everything about him, but as the truth is in Jesus. Now, I might have heard he was a carpenter. I might have heard he was 12 and he did something. I might have heard that he started a cult. Or I might have heard that there's different religious groups walking planet Earth with me today that have a different understanding of Jesus Christ and so on. But that isn't what Paul's talking about. As the truth is in Jesus. So our next question, of course, as you see it up here in the list, is what is the truth in Jesus Christ? What is Paul talking about? There's all kinds of things you could put into the truth in Jesus. What is Paul talking about that relates then to this stuff? Put on, put off, old nature, new nature, be renewed in the spirit of mind. All that has to do with the truth that's in Jesus, or the human user manual, or the God man, or the chart that you have to work on, which was in Hebrews chapter 1, having to do with he hath now spoken to us by his son. That's the kind of truth we're talking about. And then it has to do with us. So then it would have to do with probably our, what are we again? What kind of beings are we? human beings. Probably has to do with our humanity. And probably has to do with something about us that couldn't be, but now can be, in fellowship with him, as John would say. These are just suggestions, Tom. All right, so then down below, I think that's understandable. You guys can see what's going on with that. Any questions? This is just up there for a suggestion to help you see different ways to ask. If you just stuck to the what kind of question, every keyword or concept, that's the easiest one to come up with. And the who's, the why's, the where's, the when's, and the how's. And it just takes us, I think most of you are familiar with the flip books that we made, paragraph by paragraph study of different epistles and so on, where you, instead of memorizing, you'd take these questions and you'd work your way through the paragraph by paragraph. Say you were memorizing 1 John and you'd be in the third paragraph and you'd simply ask who, what, why, where questions so that you would engage your mind to simply contemplate the content. It's not a verbatim way to memorize. It's a verbatim way to be, verbatim. It's a way to so grapple with the content of God's mind in that paragraph that you know how he puts his thoughts together phrase by phrase and then paragraph by paragraph. And so those flip books was a little, the same way of using it. When we get to 1 John, we're going to hone this up. And Sonia and Curtis and Joffe have been through this in the first several chapters, is that we're going to approach paragraph by paragraph the specific content using this type of question, but from the whole perspective of the experience of the life of God. John's writing from that position to the believers, and we are on the receiving side of John's letter, interpreting what he's saying by means of the experience of the life of Christ indwelling by the Holy Spirit. So that's a refined, honed way to get to this. We need a little practice by the time we get there. That's why I'm doing this. And it's we've had different critiques of the Canadian school system over the years, and we're just working with that too from a distance. Little too sarcastic from the American side of the pandemic. All right. We good?
Yeah.
Everybody good? Okay.
Yep.
Now this will be exciting. Now we're here. But before we get here, you guys remember this chart? Now we took and I gave this out earlier in the week, and these are just suggestives of how to use the chart and then questions to ask. But before we get there, you guys decide. Now you've had an opportunities, and some have more time than others, to actually, we had a specific assignment besides reading. And what was that assignment? Anybody can say? Here, the one written on the first page here. Share, what is your understanding of put off and put on as it relates to having learned Christ? Now, in retrospect, we might think, well, I haven't had enough time to do that. But anybody make an attempt at that?
Yeah, I gave it a whirl.
Gave it a whirl? Should we let Joffe share?
Not much to share really, because I ended up thinking that this probably is exactly the same as the passage in Romans, which talks about that we are to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh.
Okay.
So I started thinking along that line, in that my old nature is related to what happened on the cross. And then my new nature is really the Lord Jesus Christ, because I'm now the expression of him. And So I suppose I was trying to understand the put on piece. The put off part is more or less taken care of with the put on part. So if you just focus on the put on, then it seemed to make sense. So if I can understand what it is to put on Christ, I'll probably understand what it is to put on my new nature all at the same time. So that's what I've been going through.
Have you been having a good time?
This week? Well, not really, because it was... it was sort of, well, okay, is this once? Do I do this occasionally? How do I do this? What do I actually do? Do I actually do anything? Or is this something that I just trust that the Holy Spirit is going to do? So I had loads and loads of questions.
Good.
And I'm not sure.
You've been writing them down?
No, just
they think, did, thinking.
They just keep back round, coming back round.
Okay. Well, let's.
And I wanted to try to make it very practical.
Sure.
I didn't want a theoretical answer. I wanted a practical answer.
Right.
So that's where I am.